when I was working for Bernie in his Senate office in DC, and he had started to think about running in the presidential and had started to travel around the country a little bit because he had sensed there was something happening out across the US. And at that time, we started to think, well, wouldn't that be interesting if he runs to film a documentary about the Bernie Sanders campaign? And but really quickly we realized that, for one thing, the thing that he started to sense clearly was out there. He was doing these town hall meetings in deep red states all over the country, but including red states, and getting incredibly enthusiastic reactions. We were watching, like, Thomas Piketty wrote this 900-page economic textbook that was on the New York Times bestseller list for something like 25 weeks. We were seeing socialists self-identified socialists win elected office in the U.S. It had a sense that there's something interesting happening, and Bernie was clearly tapping into it. And then we started to think, well, the interesting story probably isn't as much about Bernie specifically, but about the movement and what's happening across the country, of which Bernie's a part, but Bernie isn't the whole of. And so we shifted gears pretty quickly to look at the progressive movement and its effort to re-energize for the 21st century. We use Bernie's campaign as kind of a skeleton for the film. He's certainly a main character in the film. We spent a lot of time with him, but we also then folded in some stories of other people that are activists on the ground in their communities that are finding ways to take on the same kinds of challenges, but in their own really specific circumstances, all of which hopefully adds up to a re-energized progressive movement.
So many people are saying now that really what was remarkable about the presidential election in 2016 wasn't so much the election of Donald Trump, but really what the remarkable thing was what happened with Bernie Sanders and how that campaign became energized, how it really bucked against the corporate donor model that the Democratic Party has had. I mean, do you still see that as the case, you know, with all of these months now, to give you a bit of hindsight?
Yes, I would still put Donald Trump's election on the list of extraordinary things that happened, because for him to do that, he had to tear open all sorts of veins of hate and misogyny and nativism. And so that feels very important to me. I wouldn't want to discount that. I do think, though, like you're suggesting, that the fact that Bernie did as well as he did, he almost won the nomination in an environment where he shouldn't ever have been more than a fringe candidate, and yet he had a message that spoke to the anxieties and fears and aspirations of huge numbers of people, certainly on the Democratic side. We think on the other side as well, though we'll never really know now, but that was momentous. And now I think the implications now are profound and very clear. The Democratic Party itself is struggling with this rift between the establishment of the party and the rest of the anti-establishment of the party. And I think that if the party doesn't figure out how to bridge that rift, that's a big part of the story we tell in the film, then 2018 might be as bad or worse than 2016. That's a deep fissure. And it's not clear if we're going to figure out how to mend that gap within the party itself.
It doesn't seem like any bridge building is actually happening. So many people are concerned, as you said, looking ahead to 2018, that the Democratic Party has not learned the lessons of 2016, and there really is no self-examination about, well, how do we, you know, acknowledge all of that progressive energy and the energy of all those people who supported Bernie Sanders. I'm not seeing that happening. Am I missing something?
I don't know if you're missing anything. I think there are some signs, but they're pretty soft signals so far. It's really unclear. And I think the challenge in the end is going to be for the establishment, the Democratic Party establishment, to either figure out how to adjust, to recognize that Bernie was speaking to, Bernie in the election, but it wasn't just people like Elizabeth Warren as well, speaking to this very deep sense of dislocation and anxiety, and had and offered a vision for taking that seriously and offering a path forward. And the establishment, certainly the Clinton campaign, didn't do that. I think the party establishment has to figure out how to engage in an earnest way, or either the party will implode even more dramatically in 2018, or maybe the progressive wing of the party figures out how to push the establishment out and take over the party apparatus. I don't really know, but certainly a better option to my mind is we figure out how to mend that rift, how to bridge across the rift. But I think that's only one of two really fundamental rifts within the on the left that was particularly apparent given Bernie's success in the primary. But the other one, which is also I think part of why Bernie didn't in the end win the primary, and then Clinton actually had so much trouble in the general as well, was there's this rift as well between what Van Jones uses, what he calls in shorthand the white left and black left, the very economic class focused left and all the rest of the left. And that is also a very real rift for people in the racial justice movement, for instance. The challenge doesn't reduce to solving the minimum wage problem or fixing Wall Street corruption or saving Social Security. Racism isn't a function of economic unfairness. It's its own thing. We spent 3 years working on this film, met a lot of campaign finance reform folks who argued that everybody needs to drop everything and focus on campaign finance reform because that's the single most important issue. In 3 years working on this film, we didn't meet a single racial justice advocate who even put campaign finance reform on the list of priorities, much less said it was the single most important priority. And that, I think, is representative of another rift. What Van called the white left has to slow down and start listening to and engaging with the immigration left and the racial justice left and the women's equality left and the LGBTQ left, and not marginalize those issues as secondary to economics, but treat them like they have to be at the table as well.
So what do you think the big takeaway is from your film?
Yeah, I think there are two things that we most hope, I'll say three things we most hope people who watch the film take away. One is for people that were really fired up during the election, but then either when Clinton won the nomination or when Trump won the general, that they felt like, okay, I did my thing. For people like that, or just people who are fired up but don't really know what to do, hopefully they see our film and are inspired to re-engage, plug back in, to up their game, become more involved in, doesn't really matter what, supporting local candidates or local organizations or statewide or national groups, but showing solidarity with groups across the progressive spectrum that are out fighting for the causes they care the most about. But that people walk away feeling really inspired. A second is for people that are already in the movement, well, really for everybody, that I hope we make the case that what you referred to earlier as intersectionality, that Linda Sarsour, who's an amazing voice, she at one point in the film says, the first thing you got to do when you sit down at the table is look around and see who's not there. I hope that people walk away from our film thinking about that and how to make sure the table really does capture and represent all of the perspectives that need to be there. And then the third is we tell some stories that they're kind of hard stories to watch because these are folks that are struggling in really significant ways and experience real tragedy, but they also take agency. They're not in the stories we tell, they're not victims. They experience some really tragic circumstances, but they step up and organize and fight back and build. And I hope that people who see our film can. Roger Ebert once said, I'll paraphrase, that movies are the most powerful empathy creating machine ever created by humans. And I hope that people can leave our film with some sense of what those different experiences are that might be pretty different from our own. Folks who are maybe aligned in values but have very, very different life experiences.